I am sick and tired of being sick and tired. The cowards who committed this crime came into this community without any regard for human life, without regard for Naya's life. An open fire, and that cannot and will not be tolerated.
D.C. Police Chief Robert Conte speaking Saturday in the wake of the death of six-year-old Naya Courtney, killed in the district at 11:11 p.m. at night, riding a scooter during a drive-by shooting. Five adults also wounded during that shooting. That's in addition to the fact that there was more shootings going on outside of Nationals Park this weekend on Saturday. Shootings between two vehicles, and that injured three people. Now, you see district leaders now responding to an obvious uptick in violence, statistically true, and of course, anecdotally true, as you find out more about these stories. Joining us now to talk more about why this is happening and what can be done to resolve it is Greg Pemberton, the chairman of the D.C. Police Union. Greg, thank you for coming back here on the Vince Colanay Show. Good to have you back, sir.
Good afternoon, Vince. Thanks for having me.
We saw a tweet from your organization, the D.C. Police Union, this weekend, saying that elected officials are to blame for this rise in violence. The tweet was, "Welcome to Washington, D.C., where violent crime permeates everything. It is a tragedy that elected officials won't let us do our jobs." If you could expand on that.
Absolutely. You know, I've been on your show a number of times now, and our main concern and our main gripe has been that for the past 18 months, the city council here in the District of Columbia has been legislating away all of the tools, the responsible, professional, constitutional tools the police officers use to keep this kind of violence out of our city. And every day it seems like there's a new bill that has been introduced or passed by the city council that says, oh, no, you can't do this, you can't do that, you can't do this. And they have all of these ridiculous justifications to pass these bills. They don't talk to the rank and file police officers. They don't talk to the union. They don't talk to the chief of police about what these bills mean, how they look in practice, what the unintended consequences are, what the ripple effect it will be, and whether or not they'll have a negative impact on crime. And of course, they always do. This is what we've said. I said it on your show in June of 2020, that these bills will cause violent crime to increase exponentially. I said it, and it's true today. And so now when we're seeing these things and they're starting to get out of the regular areas, which everyone likes to ignore, but those really impacted areas that normally have the violence crime, now you're seeing them happen right outside the baseball stadium. Now you're seeing them happen in areas they don't typically happen. And now you're seeing things that are really tragic where there's children being murdered. And what we're asking for is the same thing we've been asking for the past 18 months, is that they need to scale back whatever it is they think police reform is, because it's not working, it's not effective, and the people that are being impacted the most are the ones in the most vulnerable communities that they're trying to help. And really, it's just gotten completely out of hand, and someone needs to do something.
Mayor Muriel Bowser, within just the last hour, Greg Pemberton, has released a letter addressed to the D.C. City Council, and she says, quote, "We have heard the calls from residents in our communities most impacted by gun violence. They want to see a strong, sustained police presence." She further says that she is directing the Metropolitan Police Department to use any overtime necessary to meet our public safety needs. Now, if cops are currently handcuffed from doing their jobs, and if prosecutors and judges are not supporting them, and if the current state of bail in Washington, D.C. is that people can be released right away after committing violent crimes, then how is overtime among D.C. Metropolitan Police going to resolve this?
Well, I think that's a great point. You know, and these are real knee-jerk reactions that we could have avoided if we all just had the tough conversations that needed to be had in the beginning, and everyone had a seat at this table. As I've said from the beginning, if there's forms that need to be made, if there's ways that communities don't want to be policed or would like to be policed or would like to adjust the way the policing exists, that's fine. But we all need to sit down in the same room and talk about how those things are going to be implemented in real life and how they're going to affect crime. And what they've done is they've just gone off on their own with academia and with activists to say, well, this is what we think policing should look like. And it doesn't look like that. And sure, we can put officers out on the street. We can put more officers on the street. We can put them out on 12-hour shifts with no days off and have them everywhere and anywhere. But and maybe that will help. Maybe that will help a little bit. But the real problem that we're trying to get at is that we need to have the tools that we use on an everyday, regular basis to try to root this kind of violence out of the community. It's not just about having a cop on every corner, so when there's a shooting, there might be a chance the officer can over and tackle the bad guy. That's not what it's about. It's about figuring out who's responsible for these crimes, having detectives identify them, present warrants, get them arrested, get them off the street, get them into the criminal justice system, and hold them accountable for their actions so that they can't continue over and over and over to go around committing these type of crimes. And that's what we've done in the past. It's been very successful in the past. In 2012, we only had 88 homicides for the entire year. And for the following 5 years after that, we barely even broke 100 homicides. But get to 2015, when all of these policies started to change and we started to see this idea of police reform, and in particular the past year, the numbers shot back up, 150, 160, 180. Now we're approaching 200. We're hitting 100 homicides by July. There's been years where we haven't even hit 100 homicides. And it all can be traced back to the same thing. And if you don't want to take my word for it, there's plenty of evidence out there, because they've passed the same exact bills in Chicago and Seattle and Portland and San Francisco. You name it, anywhere where there's these huge crime spikes, you'll find a city council passing the exact same bills. So I don't know how much empirical data that you need to see that these are bad ideas. There are ways to change law enforcement, I'm sure. There are ways we can update it, and we should always be doing that. It's a government agency. It doesn't run smoothly. It's never going to run smoothly. We always need to be reevaluating ourselves. But to completely take away every tool that we have that we can go out and get these people off the streets and make sure that these type of crimes don't happen are gone, and they've been taken away by our city councils.
Greg Pemberton, Nia Courtney, when she was gunned down Friday night at 11 p.m., it wasn't because there were a lack of police officers around her. The first cops who responded to the scene did it within 34 seconds. That's how close police officers were to this event. That should kind of tell you the story. There's cops out there, but there's obviously a reason we're seeing such a dramatic uptick in violence, and it's not because of a lack of police.
That's right. It's a complete reckless disregard for law enforcement and a disrespect for the rule of law, and an idea that even if I get caught for this, I probably won't get in trouble. And when you put all of those things together, combined with all the other issues that I've brought today, you'll find that people are much more than willing to commit these type of crimes, because the fact is that the whole criminal justice system is designed to penalize people who engage in this behavior. That's exactly what it is. And if it's broken and it's not working, the people who are willing to commit this kind of violence to seek whatever means they think that they achieve by that are going to be perfectly satisfied engaging in that, whether there's a cop right there or not. And this is the disregard and the disrespect that we have for law enforcement generally in the city, especially from this criminal element. And again, this is something that has been building up for the past year and a half, and we need to see that pendulum swinging back the other way. Otherwise, the situation is just going to continue to get worse.
Greg Pemberton, final question for you. I need you to respond to both Mayor Muriel Bowser, who's endorsed the group Black Lives Matter. She did it pretty publicly. She put the words Black Lives Matter on the pavement leading up to the White House. She made her feelings really clear about that organization. The D.C. chapter of the group this weekend tweeted, "Welcome to D.C., where the D.C. Police Union is run by a raging right-wing extremist leading a campaign to fight for cops to keep brutalizing and killing black people and then blaming it on those black people while being unable to stop the violence they fuel." What do you think of a message like that and the fact that Muriel Bowser has wrapped her arms around this organization?
Listen, people are free to say whatever they want to say. I'm never going to try to silence anyone or any group about any opinion that they have. The problem that I have is not that people are saying negative things about me or negative things about police officers. We have thick skin. We're police officers, and people are always going to have something negative to say about us. I'm not concerned about that. What I am concerned about is that people like Phil Mendelson and Charles Allen in the city council are subscribing to what you just said, and they're actually legislating around comments and statements like that who come from people that obviously have such an agenda and obviously have a bias and are not out to seek the best for the city and not out to seek the best for the citizenry. They're out to destroy and damage things. And when city council members are trying to pass laws that line up with that type of ideology, everyone should rise up and say, we have a problem with this. This isn't what the city wants. This isn't a good direction. And that's the same thing that we've said from the beginning, is let's all have real, down-to-earth, logical conversations about what this stuff means, where we need to go, and how we can fix the problems that do exist. And that's not what anybody in the city council wants to do. They just want to make sure that they can pass whatever legislation that folks like you just mentioned are asking for. And that's a very dangerous position for them to be in. And I don't know how many times I can say it, but they need to really, really, really rethink the posture that they're in right now.
Greg Pemberton, chairman of the D.C. Police Union, appreciate your time today on an important topic affecting the safety, of course, of Washington, D.C. Thank you, Greg.
Anytime, Vince. Thank you. Have a good day.